the bad boys of Arkansas radio.
This is Ruskin and Zach.
Well, here we are, Ruskin and Zach, back with you, and we're joined now by a man who's been 33 years, the skipper of the Arkansas Razorback baseball team, over 1,100 wins, 7 times the conference coach of the year, both in the Southwest Conference and the SEC, 4 College World Series. Norm DeBryan is with us here on Ruskin and Zach. Coach, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Great. It's good to be on with you. Hope you're doing well.
We're doing well because baseball starts tomorrow, Coach, and everybody is excited about another baseball season. What's it like, both as a coach and now as you've taken over after coaching in baseball? How is it different the day before a season starts, or is it different at all?
Well, I had a good visit with Dave Van Horn this morning, and you know, you kind of that first game is always exciting, and yet there's you know, there's always stuff also, you know, on how the protocol and everything goes, and then the weather is always a kind of a concern in this part of the country, and so I think he's dealing with that. And I scout a little bit with the Colorado Rockies, and so I'm covering this weekend game, so we'll be here, and kind of looking forward to that. It's kind of fun to be on that end where you're just sitting in the stands watching, you know.
Coach, you mentioned you're scouting for the Rockies here. I mean, you've seen Heston Kerstad, Casey Martin, but Eastern Illinois is going to bring in a guy that's going to start Friday afternoon, I guess, now. I mean, he's the real deal. I mean, they're talking, you know, mid-90s fastballs. I mean, this guy can bring it a little bit.
Yes, I had breakfast this morning with Dave Jorn, who was a pitching coach here for a long time. In fact, when I was here, he was with us from 82 to 89. He's very good. And Dave Van Horn hired him out of pro ball when Dave got the baseball job here. Dave was a GA with us when Jorn was here, so Dave knew what this guy brings to the table. And as we were visiting this morning, he was telling me about the pitcher that we're going to face tomorrow. And so I mentioned that to Dave Van Horn when I talked to him this morning. He said, yeah, he said he's supposed to be 95 to 97, electric arm. I mean, so that should be interesting, you know.
We're talking with Norm DeBryan here on the Williams Tractor Hotline on Ruskin and Zach. That's part of the evolutionary. It used to be that not even, you know, just a handful of years ago even, that guys in the mid-90s, you'd never see them in college. You'd see guys topping out at like 89 in college ball. Now we're seeing more and more teams like Arkansas, and more players are going the college route.
I know it. I mean, it's just crazy. I remember, you know, like when I was coaching, you never, you know, you had guys maybe touching 90. I mean, that was a big deal. And now they sit in the mid-90s. I mean, Arkansas has got a freshman pitcher that I must have seen. His name is Paulette. I've seen him 3-4 times. I mean, and he's been just 93 consistently. I mean, just an electric arm. And you see so much of that now. I don't know where that velocity comes from so consistently in college baseball. That's what you see.
Coach, we talk to a lot of athletes who are, you know, moved away from the game, and they all tell you that that they hated practice, but boy, when the games came around, that's the thing that they miss. You ever get the itch this time of year? You know, it's enough with the practice stuff, but tomorrow afternoon at 2:00, you ever get that itch to be back down in the dugout?
Well, you know, right at first when I retired, you really missed it. I think being with the team and talking to the team and, you know, that kind of thing and the relationships, you know, but the further you get away from it, I think, and the longer you get away from it, you know, you don't miss it as much. But you know, it is fun. I mean, it's a great thing, and you know where Dave Van Horn has brought this baseball program to the level where they're at now. I mean, it's just amazing. You know, the expectations and the product they put on the field. I mean, is just, you know, it's outstanding. I mean, and kind of the proof's in the pudding. I mean, that fly ball that wasn't caught a couple years ago, I mean, that's national championship, and now you know, going back to Omaha last year, and you know, expectations again. I mean, they're going to win a national championship. It's just a matter of, I think, you know, whether it's this year or next year or 2 years from now, but they've got all the pieces in place.
We're talking with Norm DeBryan here on Ruskin and Zach on the Williams Tractor Hotline. It's been a lot of talk. Coach Van Horn, you know, everyone saw that clip of him waving to Coach Calipari a few weeks ago. You ever get thrown out of a game on purpose?
Have I?
Yeah.
yeah, probably. I remember I always would forget to cover up home plate. And one time we're playing Wichita State and we're getting our butts beat by about 7 runs. And I told the umpire to have that pitcher change. He had contrasting sleeves, and you can't do that. And I said, make him change his sleeves. And he said, let's just play baseball. So I go back in the dugout, and I tell the manager, I said, get my rule book and find this. And he found it right away. I go back to home plate, and the umpire saw that. He said, don't you get that rule book out. And I couldn't get it out of my pocket. I was jumping around. He throws me out of the game, and I had the presence of covering up home plate. And unbelievable. I mean, I get thrown out. We're down by 7 runs. We come back and win that game, and I'm thinking, hey, what did I do? I should do this more often.
I was going to ask you if that was, you know, something you used to jumpstart your team, but you just answered the question for me. I mean, when we had Coach Mike.
I think you do it once in a while, you know, like I can remember going out to, you know, an umpire calls a balk or something in the field, and I'd go out and get in his face and say, I wouldn't buy you a beer in town anywhere. You know, blah, blah, blah. You know, and they look at you surprised, you know, but it's just part of it. It's fun, you know.
We had Mike Neighbors in here the other day, and he said sarcasm will get you tossed quickly. I mean, did you experience that where you just kind of say something like, you know, you probably should look at another line of work, and they throw you out?
Yeah. There are certain words you can't use, and they don't have to be cuss words. I mean, you don't say you know.
Right.
You can say that was terrible, but you don't say you're terrible. there's a difference, I guess.
Just that little difference makes all the difference, I guess. Yeah, we're talking with Dave Van Horn here on Ruskin.
Hey, Coach, one of the things that popped up in the news today is this deal with the Astros and the sign stealing and how much that can actually affect a game. I mean, you've been in the trenches in baseball games. How much do you think a batter knowing what's coming is going to help the batter?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, stealing signs has gone on forever, and some people are very intuitive and do a good job. I forget what years it was, but we had a graduate assistant, Chad Kidwell, who actually pitched for us and then was a graduate assistant. And he was just uncanny the way he could decipher, you know, in those days, the coach, the head coach or the pitching coach would relay the signs to the catcher, and he would decode him within about 2 or 3 innings. So we would have a system, you know, like, T's were fastballs and S's were breaking balls. So see it big, you holler at them, you know, and they can hear that. Now, every once in a while, you get a hitter that did not want to know. And when you do that, you better be right. So in other words, if you're telling the hitter it's a breaking ball and it's a fastball inside, I mean, they don't want that, you know, obviously. But I mean, that stuff has gone on forever. You got a guy like Yadier Molina with the Cardinals, and I mean, he is so intuitive that you wonder how much of that they do. But at the same time, I think where they cross the line is the technology, you know, with the cameras and the sophisticated stuff that's out there today. You know, that's where, you know, is a definite advantage to where it's unfair. You know, I think that's where the problem is.
Yeah, it's a little bit... A little bit kind of like James Bond spy stuff. It gets to another level versus regular old, you know, sign stealing with the guy out at second base, letting you know exactly. One way or the other. Yeah. All right, Coach, we always appreciate getting a chance to visit with you, and we'll do it again soon. Thank you so much for the time today.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Norm DeBryan with us, Razorback legend here on Ruskin and Zach.
They had a system.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Oh, yeah. It still goes on. It's just not to that degree. Yeah.
See it big.
That's right.
I love it. See, that's what... Yeah. You don't get that kind of information anymore. More bad, you know, stories from the trenches.
That's right.
Love that.
Ruskin and Zach.
We're back.
Point of parliamentary procedure.
Yes, sir.
I just pointed out to me yesterday. We say it's the show for smart fans, but we call our listeners a merry band of idiots.
The whole thing is based on irony, Zach.
Okay.
The whole thing.
Just
sarcasm.
Had that pointed out to me.
I consider myself one of the merry band.
Yes!
We will take it!
There is actually a club meeting tonight. I'm the treasurer.
Okay.
So
do we have a keynote speaker yet?
You're not sergeant at arms?
No. Nobody has actually paid their dues yet.
That's a pretty easy job, I guess. That sounds about right.
That's on brand for us, for sure.
Yeah. One day, this happened to me at breakfast the other day, where we know we're trying to get Gus Eat Boogers to become our Baba Booey for this show. Like, I want it at the LPGA. I want one of the
Baba Booey.
That's right. Well, I want one of the golfers to hit a shot, and then someone yells, "Gus Eat Boogers." That is my dream. But I was at dinner or at breakfast, and the guy brings the check. He's like, "Oh, by the way, Gus Eat Boogers." I'm like,
"You,
Patriot,
you
give this man a shirt or something.
You do that old De Niro. You, you,
this guy right. over here.
You,
that's right. That's right. Okay.
Best arm wrestling movie.
Well, there's only one. As far as I'm aware, I actually haven't watched it. Over the Top.
You haven't watched Over the Top? It's spectacularly bad.
I believe it. I don't know. I've always told myself, once I'm a national champion, then I'll watch Over the Top.
You're an arm wrestler for those that aren't connected to the dots here.
So how does the chief meteorologist get into arm wrestling?
I started doing it a long time ago when I was in Nebraska working in a station there. I always wanted to get into it. I was good. I grew up wrestling, just actual wrestling.
Not like chair shots and all that stuff.
No.
The real wrestling.
No, real wrestling. I even coached a little bit and officiated a little bit too when I was. But anyway, I always felt like, you know what, the arm wrestling, I might be really good at that. Because with wrestling, I always got gassed and I had asthma as a kid. I don't know, I was okay. But with arm wrestling, I thought, well, you know, my asthma's not going to cause any problems with arm wrestling. And so I always wanted to get into it. I got into it in Nebraska, did it for a little bit, moved to Arkansas, lived in Little Rock for a little bit. Couldn't find anybody to we call it pulling.
Pulling.
Okay. Because you are literally pulling.
Debris ball and pulling.
We call it pulling. And so I couldn't find anyone to arm wrestle with and moved up here. And about 9 years ago, or no, not 9 years ago. 7 years ago, and couldn't find anybody still, but eventually met someone who was into arm wrestling, and I've been able to practice ever since. It's a good way to stay in shape.
Is there tournaments and stuff?
Oh, yeah. I was just at the
Haven't you seen
State.
Over the Top?
No, I haven't seen Over the Top. No.
So I'm alone on that. I'm alone on that island. Okay, cool.
One of these days I'll watch it, but I was just at the Illinois State tournament. That was a very big one about a month ago. Next one I'm going to is an Oklahoma national tournament. They're weight classes.
Now I have some experience judging eating contests, and here's where I'm going with this. The big guys don't always win those.
No.
Is it the same with arm wrestling? Look, the big guys don't always win?
Look, and let me just make this perfectly clear to everybody. I know how incredibly weird this is, all right? It's not lost on me, all right? It's a good way to stay in shape. It's fun. You know, at most of these tournaments, they're at bars, so you can drink a beer and compete at the same time. It's just a good time. And again, it's a good way to stay in shape. But yeah, there are weight classes. And the biggest guy, I pulled against a guy. He came over from Germany. And this is at a tournament in Hot Springs last year. This guy didn't look like anything. You know, and he just blew through everybody, and it turned out, I found out later, he was one of the best in the world. But he did not look that strong. Now he was in his weight class. If he would have tried to pull in the super heavyweights, he would not
have won.
It's not always the biggest guy.
Does this sport have performance enhancing scandals and things like that?
I would think so.
There are no scandals. You can't make any money, and but there are guys who probably do.
Juice
that do that, but
do you have a cool nickname?
You're not going to make a bunch of money.
Okay,
you know it's not worth it. It's a hobby. You know, it's a fun hobby.
Do you have a cool nickname?
No.
Oh, you hesitated.
No, I you know, I call myself Rolling Thunder, but I
We got it. See?
Or the weatherman.
Yeah, know? I was going to say that. Weatherman. Kirby, the weatherman.
No, I don't. I'm not good enough to have a nickname or anything like that. But it's fun. And, you know.
Would you consider yourself a heel or a baby in this particular sport?
I don't even. What?
Yeah, that's the only wrestling terms I know.
The bad guys are called heels and the good guys are called baby faces.
I see. I'm not a fan of pro wrestling. Okay. I'm sorry, guys.
Right. Neither
are we. I mean, we don't know anything about it, but those are the two terms I know.
Heel and baby.
Yeah. Okay. So, better weather movie, Groundhog Day or Twister?
I love both. I love both.
Phil Connors?
Yeah. But look, Twister's obviously completely unrealistic and, you know, it's total nonsense, but it's really fun. And it's a great movie to watch at the beginning of a severe weather system. Groundhog Day is awesome because it's got Bill Murray.
Yes.
And that alone. Did you guys see, I'm assuming this happened recently, where Bill Murray was walking up to a putt and he was kind of upset he missed the putt and he just takes his little... He takes his putter and he just kind of knocks it in backwards. Do you see that video?
At that Pebble Beach, probably.
Pro-Am.
It was incredible. And he just walked off.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's a heck of a golfer. I mean, that's like his second career. That. Yeah, he's a heck of a golfer. That.
Okay. Well, he literally wasn't looking at it and just backhanded with his putter and hit the golf ball. Right, it's incredible.
So who in the office is going to give you the... Have you challenged anyone in the office? You guys are in a staff meeting. You're like, you know what? I disagree. Let's go.
No.
I mean, who's going to give you the most trouble?
Broken arms are a real thing in arm wrestling.
Yeah, that'd be bad around the office.
Yeah. You kind of... You want to have a...
It's Yuna, isn't it? She'd take you down.
Yuna would. Yuna is the strongest person I've ever met in every capacity. So yeah, she probably would. But you don't want to get into... a match. You got to go through with somebody and explain that if you get in this position, you're possibly going to break your arm. You know, and so you have to be careful.
It's kind of a conversation you should have before.
So y'all don't draw up a bracket every year and just go through the office, the 40-29 bracket on arm wrestling? That's
it wouldn't be a competition. I mean,
Rolling Thunder would win it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. arm wrestling is a very specific, you use very specific muscle groups. So you may look super strong and you may work out every day, but you're not going to have a chance because you're working muscles that very few people use on a regular basis. If you're a carpenter, you would use these muscles on a regular basis. You know, certain jobs, alignment maybe, but it's all hand, wrist. It's you know, a certain amount of forearm, but shoulder, even bicep. Tendon strength is huge in arm wrestling. If you've got the best tendon strength, you can be one of the best.
This is clearly the most sports we've done today.
Yes.
This is it.
For everybody,
this is the most sports we've done.
I got to mention this. My cousin plays for the IU basketball team. So that's actually
really
pretty cool.
Archie Miller,
our coach.
All right.
Yeah.
They won last night.
Yeah, they did.
That helps Arkansas because Arkansas beat those guys at Assembly Hall. I guess it helps. Yeah. If Arkansas will win a game again.
I was at that game.
You were?
Yeah, I was because I went home to see my family for Christmas, and I got everybody IU basketball tickets. My dad, my brothers, we went to the game, and they're winning the entire game. And I'm an Arkansas fan now. I really am. Now, I'm an IU fan at heart. I always will be because that's where I grew up.
Right.
That's where my cousin plays for the team, for crying out loud. But we're winning IU's winning the game the entire way, and then Arkansas comes back. And at the end of the game, everyone's just depressed. I mean, just and all I get from my dad is, well, thanks for buying us the tickets to the game in which we lost. I hope you're happy. I'm like, well, I'm kind of happy because Arkansas won.
Yeah, you get to go home and everybody be in a good mood.
That is kind of the backfire of getting someone tickets.
Yeah.
What if their team loses,
then it doesn't go very well.
Nothing.
I didn't think of that.
You can watch Darby Bybee and the 40-29 Get Ready Weather Team.
Hear him here every day.
Every time the news is on, you hear him here on our flagship station, 99.5 in Northwest Arkansas. Thanks for coming down and doing this.
Guys, this is the most fun I'm going to have all week.
It's Valentine's Day.
Wish me
I
luck.
Hope not.
I'm about to call my wife, so wish me luck.
Okay. Do you need us to call her for you?
Well, it'd probably be like in a doctor's note, right?
Right, kinda, exactly. Yeah, okay, yeah. You know, it'll just say, we're sorry.
Yeah, we're sorry. Yeah. We'll sign something. All right. Darby Bybee, 4029 Chief Meteorologist.
Ruskin and Zach.
We're back. It's Ruskin and Zach here, half past the hour on a Monday. Look, I'm going to level with you. We recorded this thing with Dave Van Horn last week, and the way our dopey clock is set up here, for now, not forever, we don't have time to...
You say dopey clock. We're the ones that set it up.
I understand. Okay. I agree with that.
Okay.
Well, kind of. So we don't have time to run the thing in one chunk, in one portion on the air, so we cut it into two parts, and you heard part one last week, and now here is part two with... the head coach of the Razorbacks, Dave Van Horn, as they get ready to open the season on Friday against Eastern Illinois.
Coach, we've gone 7 minutes, and I haven't asked you about Heston Kerstedt or Casey Martin. I think I fulfilled my obligation there. They're coming off years in which, they're obviously major league prospects. Where are they sort of in their development, in your opinion? And are these guys that that you might be looking at, departing next year?
Well, they'll both be gone at the end of the year, and that's what we want. We want our juniors to sign. Obviously, that's what we tell them. I mean, sure, would we take them back? Yeah, heartbeat. We'd figure it out financially with scholarships. But, to keep the program rolling, we need our juniors to sign. And, it opens up scholarship for the guys coming in, and it just keeps it going. But, start with Heston Kerstedt. I mean, this is a kid that came in here and has done nothing but hit. In the fall of his freshman year, he hit 400, which was incredible. We thought we had a pretty good pitching staff that, came within and out of winning the championship. So, on that team, then he faced all those guys. And, but his pitch selection is that's the biggest jump I've seen with him. And just the fact that he's a junior and he's a leader and his work ethic has even picked up this year, which is incredible. And, but I see him taking better at bats, not going out of the zone as much. And he's pretty much hit since he walked back in here in the fall, and you can see a big jump there, and he's stronger. And then the biggest jump I've seen with Casey Martin is defensively. He's been really, really good at shortstop and fielding everything, accurate throws, just really made a jump there. And I think, last year was the year that he felt like, he could have had a better fielding percentage, and he made some cheap errors, so to speak, with just lackadaisical throws, and we haven't seen any of that this year. He's been steady Eddie and make plays that big leaguers can't make. And with Casey offensively, it's the little things are better, like his bunting. I mean, he's going to bunt for some hits this year. He's going to use that weapon, that speed, and his biggest battle is recognition of pitches, because he's so quick, his quick twitch. And if he can do a good job of that, he's a little streaky sometimes, but he's gotten better.
We're talking with Dave Van Horn here on Ruskin and Zach. I know in your sport, and really, I guess all the sports, they're always constantly tweaking things. Is there anything committee-wise? And the thought process here, Coach, is I think that your program, the last 2 years in the Supers, you've had to play SEC teams. And I know there's a lot of SEC teams that get into the tournament, so in a way that's unavoidable. But it would just be... probably a little bit more advantage if you guys could figure out a way to get a draw with the committee with somebody. I mean, not you guys, but the committee could figure out a way to give you guys a draw with a non-SEC school on the other side,
Well, I guess in the committee's defense, I think last year, we had 10 SEC schools.
Right.
So that's a big percentage of the field. And, I think it's almost going to be impossible for that not to happen. There were some other matchups with SEC schools and Supers, and there was almost a couple more, but SEC schools got beat in the championship game of regionals. And obviously, I think they want to spread it out a little bit. When you really take a step back, they don't want to line it up where, maybe five or six SEC schools, have a clean shot at getting there without playing each other. It's always a big relief to us when, once we get done with SEC play and then the SEC tournament and we go to a regional, we don't have to play an SEC school again. We've had enough of them for a while.
Right.
But once you win that regional, honestly, I don't think we care who we play, whether it's the number one ranked team in the country at their place or hosting an SEC school. We just want that opportunity that if we can get two more wins, we get a chance to play for a national championship.
Coach, I read some of the comments you made yesterday at the Swatters Club. So if I say Noland Wicklander, and who's gonna be your Sunday starter?
Well, it's gonna, you know, it could evolve, but right now we're gonna start Blake Adams, a true freshman, on Sunday.
Freshman out of Harbor High School.
Yes,
he's got the. I mean, he's got an electric fastball. I saw him pitch in high school. How's he advanced from since you guys and Coach Hobbs have been able to get your hands on him?
Well, he's advanced a lot. I mean, his velocity jumped. You know, when he was a little younger, he threw harder probably as the summer after his sophomore year and then his junior year than he did his senior year. And I have a feeling that it was just that he was swinging the bat so much and such a good hitter, and he's got power and he could hit for us. I mean, you know, I think we let him hit early, and then he kind of realized, hey, I think I can help this team more in pitching. And he knows that's going to be his ticket down the road. That's going to be his opportunity to play this game for a long time, is to pitch. And when he really went full bore into pitching, we saw his velocity start jumping and jumping. And, you know, in the scrimmage game so far, this we'll call it spring, even though it's winter, he's had two outings, and it's really not the velocity. It's the fact that he doesn't walk people. But his fastball has been mostly 93 to 95. And he's got a good breaking ball. You know, his better days are in front of him. We need to develop him. But what it does, it keeps some of our older pitchers in the bullpen, like Kevin Copps and Cole Ramage. And Cole Ramage has pitched extremely well since we got back from the break, and he pitched well in the fall. And, you know, he's the one that probably would have a little bit of a beef, but he's been good about it. And he, you know, if we could keep these older guys in the bullpen and we can pitch some of these younger guys like we did last year to start games, you know, and we can get a lead or keep it close, we got a really good chance of winning the game.
Coach, we see this in other sports where, you know, Coach Pittman may suggest to a player that maybe he needs to move spots. And you mentioned Blake sort of realizing that the throwing the ball was probably his ticket versus hitting. Do you find maybe with sort of your experience, your success, where you kind of go to a guy and say, hey, you know, this is sort of where you're going to flourish, that maybe they take it a little better?
Well, I think it's like in anything you do, a lot of times it's not what you say, it's how you say it, you know. And so we try to word it right and really talk about them and their future, but at the same time, talk about how it can help the team if they would do this or move to this position or maybe just pitch or just hit. Because Elijah Trest was a two-way guy coming out of high school, and he hits left-handed, he throws right. Well, he's going to be one of our top relievers this year. He's throwing the ball 95 miles an hour. But he wouldn't be doing that if he was working with the hitters every day. He wouldn't be as strong. He'd be tired. You know, and the season would get really long for him really fast. And so I think the kids get it. They kind of know. I mean, even our recruit class, 2020 class that we just signed in November, there's four or five kids that are really good two-way guys that have electric arms, but they can also hit. And there's a couple of them when they get here, they're going to try it. There's a couple that they've already said, I'm not going to pitch anymore, I'm just going to hit. And that's what we recruited them to do. So I think the kids get it. They're pretty smart.
So that's part two of our conversation with Dave Van Horn.
Ruskin and Zach.
All right, let's talk to Miles. Hi, Miles. What's going on, man?
Hey, guys. Love the show. I know you guys are probably hitting a break. I've got a quick deal about being on a flight like that. I was flying from Dubai back to Houston.
That's a short flight. That's a commuter flight.
Yes, sir. 17 and a half hours, and I was on the back of the plane, just like what you were saying. And back of the plane doesn't recline back, so you're sitting up as straight as you can for 17 and a half hours. Well, after a few hours, you try to indulge in a few beverages to try to go to sleep, which doesn't happen after a while.
By and a few, you I'm mean not 12.
I'm a very small man, you know, 5'10", 140 pounds, soaking wet with my boots on. And during this time, I had one individual who would continue to push his seat back the whole time, during this whole flight. And I, as nicely as I could, throwing stuff at him and tried to encourage him to push his seat back. Well, karma is a real thing, because this was a individual from that area. And whenever we got up, he was wearing white pants, and he never got up the whole flight. And I was sitting straight up this whole 17 and a half hours, whenever we got up to get off the plane in Houston, we noticed an odor.
Oh, this gentleman. No.
And during the whole time, that we were walking off, we smelled an odor, and I'm trying to make it as PG as I can.
So he dutied
without
his
the
pants.
Dump button. And as he was walking, he was
what you're saying is he hit the dump
plane.
Button.
And he was leaving presents on the plane as soon as he walked out.
Oh, no!
And then it gets, if you got 30 seconds, it gets even better.
Go ahead.
We get through customs, and I was doing stuff over there, and he tries to push in front of me at customs, and we're in the U.S. now, and this whole time he's trying to argue with me and the customs agent, and his white pants is now brown, and he's continuing to leave presents on the floor. So, needless to say, it was a crappy flight for me to yeah. set up like that.
Well said.
But he literally lost it, his, you know, on the way home.
Wow.
Wow.
What a story.
Love you guys, man. Thanks for everything.
Thank you, Miles.
I can assure you of this. You'll hear that on a podcast near you very soon.
Ruskin and Zach.
And we're joined now by the analyst on, once again, on Razorback Baseball broadcast with Phil Elson. You'll hear those on many of these stations along our Ruskin and Zach network throughout the spring. Bubba Carpenter is with us here on the Williams Tractor Hotline. And Bubba, how's it going, man? It's time again. Baseball.
I hear you, fellas. How y'all doing?
Man, we're doing great. This is what, year three, year four with you and Phil?
This will be year three.
Wow. It's amazing.
Getting into that mode where you're like, Phil, just move over. Stop talking, right? I mean, you're comfortable with it, you know.
We're like the old married couple now. We just kind of bicker back and forth. It's kind of, I guess the honeymoon's over.
Yeah. You're like those two old guys in the Muppets sitting like, in the yeah, balcony. Yeah,
George and, was it? George
Statler and Waldorf.
Statler and Waldorf, yeah.
So,
hey, but you know what? We love each other, though. I love Phil, and we get along great. We've actually watched a few of the scrimmages together, and it's crazy. We're sitting there watching the scrimmage. It's just like we're on the air. And we do argue a little bit and give each other a hard time, but it's fun and love, so we have a good time with it.
Well, and from the broadcasting into things, that's the sweet spot. When you get two guys that just sound like they're watching the game, that are calling the game, I mean, that's really, it's rare, and it's really, really cool to find something like that. And, you know, I think Razorback fans are really happy with the job you guys have done, honestly.
Well, that's good to hear. Well, it's easy to talk about Razorback baseball right now. I mean, yeah. There's so many things to be happy about. Just the direction that the program's in right now. I mean, it's fun to do, and it's easy to talk about.
Yeah.
So I know you watch the hitters a little bit more closely because that sort of hits home for you. Kerstad, Martin, and they got this new guy over at second base who can swing it a little bit. They tell me he's a gap-to-gap guy, not a real power threat yet, but he's a gap-to-gap guy, and he should make a huge difference in an offense that was already pretty good.
Oh, it's amazing. Robert Moore, I mean, for him to come in as a 17-year-old kid and do what he's been doing, that's impressive. I don't think I could have done it at 17, but he's a switch hitter. He does have some pop from the left side, though. He went oppo the other day, hit a ball deep to left field out of the ballpark, and so he's got some pop from the left side. The right side, he's probably more of a spray hitter, but I know Dave Van Horn's talked a lot about him defensively, how quick his hands are, and they really just kind of have to slow him down, so watching him and Casey Martin up the middle this year is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be exciting.
What are some things that you're most interested to see in a real live game, whether it be Friday or this weekend, whatever it is? Who are some guys you're looking forward to see?
Honestly, I want to see a couple of the new guys. Braden Webb, I mean, he's a guy that's going to probably be hit at the top of the lineup. He's got a lot of pop, good approach at the plate. I really want to see him a little bit more in actual game situations. He looked great in the scrimmage games. You know, Cole Austin's another guy I want to see. And then, obviously, you know, anytime you get, you know, Heston stepping up to the plate or Casey Martin, you know, something good's getting ready to happen. So, to be honest with you, up and down the lineup, it's just, for me, just watching that whole lineup play together as one unit's going to be fun.
Am I misinterpreting this? Because Isaiah Campbell was outstanding last year. But last year's pitching staff, it was Isaiah and everybody else. This bunch is a lot deeper, and you know where we had concerns last year about the bridge to getting, you know, to the back end of the bullpen. Now you've got two guys with quality SEC starting experience on the mound to start games, and then you got a bullpen that's probably one of the more experienced ones coming back.
Well, they talk about the depth. You know, Dave Van Horn said this is about as deep as any pitching staff he's had, you know, I was lucky enough to sit down with Matt Hobbs yesterday for a while, and just listen to him talk about this staff. He's so excited. There's so many good arms down there in the bullpen. And there's some guys with experience, but then there's also some freshmen that can just flat out bring it. You know, several guys, you know, you're talking about several guys down there that are mid-90s, which is just amazing, you know, the way they're able to go out and recruit these guys and get them in.
We're talking with Bubba Carpenter. You'll hear him with Phil Elson on the Razorback radio broadcasts all season long. Bubba's joining us here on the Williams Tractor Hotline on Ruskin and Zach. We talked to Dave about this last week, and I'd be interested for your perspective, because it seems like more of the borderline guys at a high school are going to college now, not just here, but across the SEC, and it's making college baseball better. It's making SEC baseball, which is already, I think, the best in the country, even better. Is that something you're seeing as well?
Oh, absolutely. You know what? When you're playing SEC baseball, I mean, that's equivalent to Double-A baseball, if not a higher level. I mean, it's impressive. And then you get to go out and you play in front of big crowds. And so, you know, when you're in A-ball going around the minor leagues, you're playing in front of a 1,000 people, a couple thousand people, where in the SEC, you're playing in front of packed houses. I mean, it's a great way for a guy to develop and to really be tested, to be honest with you, in front of big crowds and pressure situations. And that's why guys that come through the SEC, you know, you look a couple years later and they're all in the big leagues. And so it's really, you know, guys are starting to choose that route. And I think it's smart for them, because it really does, and especially with what the coaching staff here, Dave Van Horn, Matt Hobbs, Nate Thompson, they really get guys prepared to play in the major leagues, to be honest with you. And it's fun to watch.
So looking at the weekend, outside of this school has produced two really good quarterbacks, what do we know about Eastern Illinois?
Well, it's like any team that comes in the Baum Walker, they're playing, they want to win these games. I mean, they come in with, you know, it's exciting for them to play a top five team in the country, one of the best teams in the country at the best stadium in the country. And so they come in with a different level, you know, and baseball's a mental game. So I do know they have a Friday night guy that's supposed to really bring it. Supposedly he's mid-90s, the real deal, going to be a top pick in the draft. So you just never know, guys, when you play these teams. They can load up a game, and then anything can happen. That's why you play the game. But, you know, it's going to be exciting. And I know our guys are tired of beating up on each other. They're ready to get out there. So it's going to be exciting to see them all out there.
We're talking with Bubba Carpenter here. And Zach, what about this idea in the NCAA tournament? I don't know, we're getting way ahead of ourselves, but how about you get to pick your super regional opponent? Just like Major League Baseball's talking about, because we talked to Dave about this. You run into an SEC opponent two consecutive years in the supers. It's not ideal, but I mean, that's what happens when you get eight, nine, 10 teams in the tournament. It's bound to happen, I guess.
Right, and I don't know. There's a lot of that talk. I know a lot of guys, a lot of your baseball purists aren't really liking the direction that Major League Baseball is going. And the game needs to evolve and change. But then your old school people are like, man, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And so, I don't know. I think when it comes right down to it, it'd be fun in college baseball to be able to pick your opponent, because, you know, I hate having to beat up on another SEC team in a regional, or, you know. And so, I don't know. There might be something to it. We'll have to wait and see.
We're familiar with all of the big names, Nolan, Wicklander, Martin, Opitz, that group. Who should we be looking for? Maybe we're having this conversation in 4 months and went, you know what, we should have watched that guy from day one because he's really special.
I tell you what, if you're talking about the pitching staff, there's some arms, some electric arms down there. There's a guy, Zach, that they're really excited about.
Saved by the Bell?
Only you would know that, right?
Well, you know, we Zach stick together.
I hear you. Now, Zach Morris, he's a lefty, and you know, he's got Matt Cronin's number, and they think a lot of him. He's got a chance to be really good. You got Domiak, and he's been up to 97 miles an hour. Peyton Paulette's a guy that they really like. Matt Hobbs said he's got the best curveball on the team. Just his breaking ball is just off the chart. And his spin rate on his fastball and his breaking balls. So there's a lot of new guys that are going to be really exciting to see. And then lineup, you know, it's just some of the new guys that you've heard a lot about. And then there's, you know, there's still some other guys off the bench. There's a guy, Bryce Matthews, that I like a lot, a big left-handed hitter, wears number 24. You know, he's 6'4", he's probably 210. He just looks like a major league outfielder. He's got a lot of pop in his bat. I think he's going to be a guy that's exciting to watch him develop. So, and there's just, it's amazing to me, fellas, how how the staff, they're able to just reload every year. You know, you lose guys, and then next thing you know, it's like, boom, there they are, new guys. And it's going to be a fun team to watch. Athletic, fast, with a lot of power. And then, like I said, just a lot of good arms coming out of that bullpen.
Has Arkansas reached the point where they're literally reloading every year instead of rebuilding? I mean, they've got this thing steamrolling to a point where they're plug and play at this point, and the guys produce.
Oh, they are every year. And it's, you know, I say it all the time, you know, Dave Van Horn does a great job. Players kind of take on his personality. He's a tough guy, gritty, you know, and that's the way the team plays. We call it Razorback baseball. But they're kind of at the point now, and sorry for saying this, fellas, y'all probably aren't Yankee fans, but I'm a Yankee fan. In Yankee land, if you don't make the World Series, it's not a successful year. And that's really how it is with Razorback baseball right now. You kind of look at it, it's either, if we don't get to Omaha, it's not a good year. And that's a lot of pressure to put on these guys, but I tell you what, they're living up to the expectations, and that's, you know, that's where the program is right now.
Yankees could have another World Series if it weren't for the Astros cheating their behinds off a couple years ago, Brad.
You ain't trying.
There you go. All right.
Speaking of cheats, I want to see what happens when you face Phil Elson. I hear he's going to strike you out.
The only place Phil struck out was prom. I mean, this is ridiculous. Dude tops out at 45. I'll hit it out of bomb either side, whichever. I'll let him pick the side.
Wow.
Well, I hear he tips his pitches, so I'll get with you.
Yeah,
well,
slow, right, slower, and slowest.
More sign stealing. Thank you, Bubba. Appreciate it.
Good talking to you guys. Go on.
Ruskin and Zach.
Let's talk to Jake from Venice Beach. Hi, Jake.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not much, man.
Hey, I got one time I was flying from LAX to Shanghai. So I was flying in first class, and everything was cool, and I was, you know, getting my hot towel and everything. And then Marilyn Matten came in with her twins. And they sat in front of me, and it was, I think the boys were like 2 years old. And I was like, okay, the door's about to shut. I've got these 2-3-year-old boys. This is going to be a hell of a fight. Next thing you know, their daddy came on, James Carville, the Raging Cajun.
Oh, wow.
Was sitting in front of me. And basically, the boys were fine. But James Carville was like, what are you getting to eat? What's better, the steak or the fish? I wouldn't drink that. I mean, it was like a crazy southern lizard released in first class. This guy was nuts. So the boys were fine.
Yeah.
But James was all over the place.
Yeah.
So what movie are you getting? I mean, he would take a poll. He was polling first class.
Wow.
And I was like, I don't know, man. Armageddon's always a crowd pleaser. And then I just took a sleeping pill and woke up, and James was like standing on the damn seat.
This is James Carville.
25-hour flight with James Carville was quite an experience.
Wow. I'd have been checking for parachutes if it was me. I mean, go on.
That's great.
That's a great
story. I was checking for a lot. I was checking to make sure my seat could float and all that stuff.
All right.
So, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Try riding with a Raging Cajun for 25 hours to Shanghai and see if you survive, guys.
All right. Thank you, Jake. Call anytime. I like your stories. Appreciate it.
Ruskin and Zach.
We're joined now on the Williams Tractor Hotline by Andrew Hutchinson, hogbeat.com, HAWGbeat.com, part of Rivals. Hutch, how's it going, man?
Going pretty good. How about you guys?
We're doing good. What in the world happened in Knoxville last night?
start with an A-bomb. Yeah, what happened last night?
Just throw the grenade in the pool first.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it was bound to happen eventually. I mean, before last night, Arkansas was one of nine Division I teams out of, like, 353 that had not lost a game by double digits. And it just seemed like that didn't really make sense because, you know, most of those teams that were in that list, they were like, four or five top 10 teams, top 15, top 25 teams, whatever. And then a couple of teams that were just, you know, dominant in their league. And then there was Arkansas, who's not really dominant in the SEC and not a top 25 program. And so, it just seems like they're coming down to earth a little bit. I mean, I think I talked to, on y'all's show before the season, and I said that I really thought this would be a successful season if they made the NIT. And then, of course, they were a lot better than everyone expected. They beat Indiana. They got off to a pretty good start in conference play. They played Kentucky tough. And then it's kind of just gone all downhill from there. And I think last night was just the culmination of everything with, you know, Mason Jones kind of being off and, you know, kind of in a, I don't know if the doghouse is the right term, with Musselman after, you know, what we saw, you know, against Missouri, and then Isaiah Joe still out. It's just, it was the perfect storm of things that happened. And, you know, Knoxville's always a tough place to play, and it all resulted in just an absolutely atrocious performance last night.
You're big into the numbers. What's the most disturbing trend that you see? Is it the points per game going up? I think we kind of expected that, but boy, their shooting percentage just hasn't budged all year. And last night, going 15-49, that's just not going to cut it.
Yeah, the shooting percentage was pretty alarming, and just three-point shooting in general this year has been probably the most surprising thing. I mean, because, you know, obviously Isaiah Joe is out right now, so that's something you have to consider for last night. But even when he's been healthy, his shooting percentage isn't as good as it was last year. Desi Stills has not shot it as well as he shot it last year. You know, Jalen Harris is, you know, mightily improved, but, you know, he had nowhere to go but up. I think he still deserves some credit for improving, but just three-point shooting in general has not been what I expected it to be. I thought this was going to be a team that kind of lived and died by the three. They were able to get by without the three ball, really, for first half of the season, but now it's starting to really kind of show where, you know, if they're not hitting shots like that, then it's going to be a long game. And it's really concerning whenever, you know, Mason Jones isn't making them, because he's been the most consistent guy in terms of shooting the ball. But that's probably the biggest thing that's the most concerning. You expected the points per game that they're allowing to kind of give up once they get into SEC play, better competition, things like that. But it's definitely concerning that they're not able to knock down the three ball.
We're talking with Andrew Hutchinson from Hogbeat.com here on the Williams Tractor Hotline on Ruskin and Zach. So it seems to me, because people want to talk about coaching stuff. Look, Musselman had them in the only way that they could win, playing those 4 and 5 guard lineups. Well, now they can't do that. They're having to play a different lineup, and we can see why they haven't been playing this lineup all along, because it's not doesn't work that well. But the 5-guard lineup seemed like it was a bigger problem for opponents than it was. Everyone thought, well, how will Arkansas match up? Other teams were having trouble with that.
Yeah, they really were, and now you're seeing Arkansas start, you know, both Bailey and Chaney, so they're going with the quote-unquote big lineup. It's still not very big, but it's big by Arkansas standards. And then whenever you get to a situation last night where I think both of those guys picked up 2 fouls in the first 7 minutes, that kind of goes out the window. You know, props to Ethan Henderson for actually coming in and playing some solid minutes. I mean, he's not a superstar by any means, but he looked a lot better than what we've seen in the past. I mean, the 5-guard lineup, the 4-guard lineup, I mean, that it also helps when one of those guards is Isaiah Joe, because that really spreads the floor. You've always got to account for him. And even when he's 30 feet away from the basket, you've got to have somebody in his face, because that's within range for him.
So what's the hope? I mean, obviously we've seen that this thing has gotten really ugly really fast. Where's the silver lining in all of this?
Well, I think the silver lining is that at least the schedule is manageable coming down the stretch. I mean, they do have Mississippi State this Saturday. That's going to be a tough matchup. Obviously, they got blown out themselves by Ole Miss yesterday. So they're kind of reeling a little bit. But, I mean, if you look at it, I mean, they got Missouri still coming to town. They got Tennessee still coming to town. You know, they go to Georgia. Those are all winnable games. So I think that they, and especially if Isaiah Joe is recovered faster than maybe they expected, if they can get him back, I think it still sets up where they are capable of winning games, as long as the wheels don't just completely fall off. And nothing Eric Musselman has shown so far makes me believe that's going to happen. I think last night was more of an anomaly than maybe, you know, the beginning of a trend. I don't know if that's an optimistic viewpoint of it, but I do think that the schedule is manageable and that they're going to be able to win some games. Now, is it going to be enough to fully cement themselves an NCAA tournament team? That remains to be seen, but I still think that they're going to be playing in the postseason, even if it's the NIT. And as I said earlier, that is still a successful season for year one.
All right. We'd be not doing our job if we didn't have you on here and not talk about baseball with the season starting in 2 days. What are the most intriguing things to you to look for this weekend, Hutch?
I'm really looking forward to seeing how Blake Adams pitches on Sunday. You know, he's a freshman. He's from Springdale Harbor. Springdale's my hometown. I've actually watched Blake Adams play since he was about 7 or 8 years old. My first job when I was a teenager in high school was working as a scorekeeper at the Little League ballpark.
Imagine
Springdale.
That.
So I've seen
you
Blake
never had
play
a chance.
Exactly, and I mean, he was impressive as a 7 and 8 year old. And now getting to see him pitch for the Razorbacks is pretty surreal. Makes me feel a little old. I know y'all laugh at me when I say that, but
dude, you're like it is. You're like 19.
not quite. But I'm very excited to see what he can do. I'm anxious to see how he performs in front of a big crowd and playing for the Razorbacks. That's one thing I'm really looking forward to, and I'm also excited to see what this lineup looks like 1 through 9 because I think it could be pretty dangerous. We may be seeing a lot of home runs again this year from guys you know, like Heston Kerstedt, Casey Martin, but you're going to see guys like Christian Franklin, Casey Opitz, guys that didn't really hit a ton last year. I think you're going to see an uptick in their production this year.
How's the little girl doing?
She's doing good. She's going through, I guess, what's called a leap. I did not learn about this until just recently. It's kind of like a growth spurt, I guess, where she gets a little fussy and doesn't want to sleep
somebody,
as much.
They're lying to you, man. So. They're fussy till they're 18 and they get out of your house.
I'm fussy on Tuesdays.
Yeah, see? Look, see what I'm dealing with? But I want to commend you and your lovely wife on the name that you chose. And give us her name.
It's Holland, but we call her Holly.
Mm-hmm. And giving her a beautiful name and not a vocation. That's a very, very important step in the parenting process. Talk to me.
Yeah, we thought it was a pretty good name.
Talk to me about the back end of the bullpen. That was a problem last year. Getting to the closer was a problem. Give me some hope there that this whole thing has been fixed.
Well, I think one reason Van Horn wanted to go with Blake Adams as that number three starter is because that way you could keep the veteran guys in the bullpen. You know, Kevin Copps, Cole Ramage, those are guys that I think are going to have to really step up this year. Then also Zebulon Vermillion, still not 100% sure if he's going to be able to throw this weekend. He's been dealing with a little bit of hamstring issue, not anything serious, but he's a guy that I think could be the closer. I don't think you're going to have a Matt Cronin. There's not a Matt Cronin on this staff. I think it could be kind of a closer by committee type of deal. But, I mean, those guys are all going to need to step up, and you could also see some freshmen in there. So a couple other in-state guys, Peyton Paulette from Benton, I think is going to be pretty good. And Zach Morris, I watched him a couple of weekends ago in a scrimmage, and he was very impressive.
Hold on.
And I
what's the Hog Pen's plan for him? What are we doing with him? You can't just say, well, Zach Morris, and everybody not go from Saved by the Bell?
Is everybody going to get giant cell phones to hold up? You know, like big
what's
bricks?
The plan?
That'll be interesting to watch this year as well. I will say the Arkansas fans never disappoint when it comes to creativity. So I'm sure they'll come
idea.
Up with something for
Can
them.
We have a Kelly Kapowski lookalike night? I'll show up for that.
Wow.
I got some stuff. I got a bag full of stuff here. I'll show up at the Kelly Kapowski night.
That's right. That'll be fine. All right. Andrew Hutchinson, hogbeat.com. Thanks, man.
Yeah, appreciate you having me on, guys.
Hutch and all our guests.
I still don't know why he comes on with us every week.
On the Williams Tractor Hotline.
That poor guy's just trying to do a good job.
Ruskin and Zach.
Caleb is up next. Caleb?
Yeah, am I on?
You're on the air. And please don't swear, whatever you do.
No, you're good. I don't think I can top the Raging Cajun, but me and my buddy, we were flying back from a spring break trip in Mexico one time. And I was sitting a few rows ahead of him, and as a joke, I guess he snuck a picture at a new beach of this old Iran. And as a joke, he's going to airdrop it to me on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he accidentally hits airdrop all.
No.
Yeah.
That's great.
And so everybody on the plane with an iPhone got this picture of a full frontal old man just enjoying himself. And so we ended up getting kicked off the flight, and had to stay another night at the resort in Mexico and pay for a whole nother airline ticket.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Ruskin and Zach.
We're back here, half past the hour on Ruskin and Zach, and on the call tonight for Arkansas and Tennessee on the SEC Network is Joe Klein on television. He'll be paired with Kevin Fitzgerald, and Joe joins us now here from Knoxville on the Williams Tractor Hotline. Hey, Joe, how's it going?
Good, good. How are you guys?
We're doing good. So, in what have you seen with Arkansas? We know Isaiah Joe's other issues that are being kind of exposed here over the last 6-7 ball games with Arkansas.
Yeah, well, I think it's exposed. I just think what has happened. You know, they were winning a lot of close games, and now they're losing some close games. And great analysis by me. But I think what's happened is, you know, the rebounding and the points in the paint have all they're there. They're like the black cloud that, you know, follows this team everywhere it goes. But they've been able to offset that by assisted turnovers. You know, they don't turn the ball over. They force teams to turn over. They lead the league in steals. They were, you know, not killing people at the free throw line, but they were holding their own, scoring at the free throw line and making their free throws. You know, and then you throw in Isaiah not being there in the midst of that. You know, and those numbers, the ones that were kind of offsetting the points in the paint and the rebounding numbers, have shrunk a little bit. You know, not you know, oh my gosh, but they're fouling a little bit more, so teams are hanging with them at the free throw line. The assist and the turnover thing has shrunk a little bit. The steals shrunk just a little bit. And then no Isaiah Joe. And so I think that's where it's flipped. It's not anything that's like, oh my gosh, look at this, but it's shrunk just enough to where the points in the paint and the rebounding has become a little more prevalent and therefore a little more detrimental to Arkansas based on winning close games or losing close games.
Joe, you've been in the locker room. With every basket and every game, the fans freak out, you know, win or lose. This is the greatest team in the world. This is, you know, we can't win another game. From a player's standpoint, I mean, what's sort of the emotional temperature in there? Okay, you know, things aren't going so great, but is this just to get back to work? Hey, we got a game tonight, or is there panic seeping in?
Oh, no. There's no panic. I mean, you know, Coach Musselman, he's been in an 82-game schedule. You know, I mean, when you're in that NBA grind, I mean, it's next man up, next game up, whatever. I mean, you have that mentality, and I think this team has that mentality. I mean, I think a lot of teams, having lost Isaiah Joe, would have, you know, really had a much tougher time than what Coach Muss has been able to do. He's hung them together. I mean, they could have very easily won South Carolina, very easily won Auburn, very easily won Missouri. I mean, these are all things that could have flipped with a free throw here, made here, a steal there, one three-point shot. So, I mean, I think they're looking at it from that aspect and just that it's a long season. The message has always been you're going to face some adversity. How are you going to handle it? I think they're handling it well. They're just not getting rewarded for it right now. And they have a great opportunity tonight.
We're talking with Joe Klein. He'll have the call on the SEC Network coming up this evening of Arkansas and Tennessee. On the Tennessee side, this is not last year's highly ranked Tennessee team. They've got 10 losses. They're talented, but they're kind of an odd team to figure out right now.
Yeah, I mean, they struggle to score, you know, and that it's kind of, if you're looking at the game tonight from an Arkansas standpoint and a fan, you're like, well, this is good. You know, we should be able to hang with them. They don't shoot the three very good. And, you know, when talking to Coach Barnes, I mean, that thing he says over and over again is they struggle to score. We struggle to score. We struggle to score. And, you know, they've got good size. They're a little deeper. You know, it's kind of looking like, you know, same song, different verse, if you're Arkansas. I mean, they're a team that's a little deeper, a little bigger, but, you know, they don't shoot the ball well. And that's kind of, when you looked at the Missouri game, you know, that's kind of what you were looking at going into the Missouri game, although Tillman didn't play. But going into that game, you're looking at, like, a little bigger, a little deeper, don't shoot or score very good. We can hang with them and you know, maybe make some plays down the stretch. And it's kind of sizing up to do that, you know, going into it, kind of looking that way again.
There's a lot of second-guessing going on with Eric Musselman right now, a lot of the armchair coaches. You know, take me inside Musselman's head for a little bit. You've got Isaiah Joe out, Jimmy Witt's banged up, Mason Jones is Mason Jones, but where do you go from here? There's only so much Eric Musselman can do. Where do you go if you're Eric Musselman?
Well, you grind, and that's all you can do because you have a limited roster. And I mean, let's be truthful. I mean, you know, you have a limited roster, and you grind it, and you fight, you scratch, and you keep them believing. You know, you can't. You got to look at. And I've heard him say this, you know, he's talking to him about how close they are in these losses, how they're right there without all these things and with all these things stacked against them, they're still right there. And that's the message. I mean, the message has to be pounded and pounded and pounded that we're right there, that we can flip this thing. Just as we've lost 3, 5 out of 7, we can win, you know, 4 out of 6. I mean, win out, but have a, you know, really good record finishing the league and get ourselves in good position for the tournament in the NCAA. So, I mean, I think that's the message because, I mean, guys, you know better than I, as well as I do. I mean, there's the bench and the, not to be mean to anybody, but it's limited. I mean, his options from a player standpoint are limited, and so you've got to keep doing what you're doing, but you got to do just a little bit better to flip these close games.
We're talking with Joe Klein here on Ruskin and Zach on the Williams Tractor Hotline. Big picture, just not just tonight, but for the whole totality of year one, what are your impressions on what Musselman has brought to Arkansas basketball?
No, I love it. I mean, I'm a big fan. I like what he's doing. I like he's recruiting hard. He's coaching hard. He's grinding, and I like it. I mean, he's a fighter, you know. And whenever you say these things, you know, everybody goes, "Soon, just saying that Mike Anderson wasn't." So let's cut that cord right there. I mean, you know, we all loved Mike, so this is not a, you know, referendum on Mike Anderson. This isn't talking about Eric Musselman, but, you know, I like all that. I like how he, you know, I'm an emotional guy. When I played, I was a fiery guy. I like seeing that on the sidelines. Some people don't. I do. I've been in his practices. I love how he prepares. I love how he talks and teaches the players and is upfront with them and honest with them, good and bad. And, you know, I think the program's in really good hands.
Joe, last weekend, your buddy Charles Barkley sitting in the crowd. I mean, has his run at Auburn sort of ended? I mean, he can't even get, like, front row seats. He's hanging out with Vital during the pregame. But, I mean, he's sitting, like, the third row. Dude can't get a front row seat.
Well, I mean, that shows, you know, Auburn has got some smart people and that they're gradually, hopefully, probably by about 4 or 5 years, they'll have him up in the upper deck. You know, Jimmy Dykes took a picture with him and Jimmy Dykes had the flu for 2 days. So that's all you need to know.
Oh, well, that says it all.
you hang around suspect people and suspect things happen.
That's it.
You know, I love him. I mean, he's so good for Auburn. I mean, and so gracious to all those people. Chuck's what a guy. I mean, Auburn's got to cherish him because they won't ever see another one like him, I can tell you that.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to see that, except when Arkansas is playing those guys, of course. Anyway,
absolutely.
Anyway, yeah. You'll be on the call tonight, 6 o'clock on the SEC Network for Arkansas and Tennessee. It's Joe Klein with us here on Ruskin and Zach. Thanks, Joe. We appreciated it.
You bet, guys. Have a great day.
All right, you as well. Joe and all our guests join us here on the Williams Tractor Hotline on Ruskin and Zach.
Ruskin and Zach. The Razorback Talk Show designed for smart fans.
This is Ruskin and Zach.
You can listen to the Ruskin and Zach Show anywhere in the world. ESPN995.com. HitThatLine.com. ESPN TuneIn app. Great, great radio station you're listening to right now. All right.
How's it going?
We're going to find out in a minute.
So, yeah, we've got Valentine's Day coming up this weekend, as you probably know, and you should know if you're a male. And Jason is here from Cupid's to tell us what's going on with everything going on with Cupid's into the as we get into Valentine's. How you doing, Jason?
Hey, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
We're doing good. We'll get the mic working here in a second. We got seven people running around because we don't have a crew today, but that's all right.
Well, I appreciate you having me in here, bud.
Well, you're welcome. So, this is, well, listen, we'll be perfectly honest. There's no delicate way to dance around this, but hey, it's Valentine's Day. People want to have a lot of fun. You guys have the ingredients to help that happen, more or less, right?
We definitely have the ingredients to help you out. I can promise you that.
That's right. Okay, so Cupid's has locations across the state, but in Northwest Arkansas, you're in Bentonville and in Taneytown, right?
Correct.
Yep. And so here we are.
Here we are.
What do you got, Zachary? Now that your mic's not working. It'd be nice if we had, you know, a producer or a board op or someone that could help us run the show, but that's not.
I'm sure there's YouTube for this.
YouTube?
To figure out how to do this.
Oh, yeah. We know how to do it. I just don't need the co-host running back and forth in the middle of a sponsor segment, but that's the hand we've been dealt here, so to speak. So, what's going on? What's the big thing that people need to know as they think about going to Cupid's for Valentine's Day?
Well, Cupid's Lingerie, me and my wife own it. You know, we have a lot of lingerie. We have lingerie that goes from extra small to queen size.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every girl needs to feel sexy, so we make sure we have lingerie to make every girl feel sexy, because, hey, sexy works.
Right.
I've been told that, yeah. What, I mean, it's Valentine's week. I mean, it's Wednesday of Valentine's week. I mean, you've got to have specials in there for guys like Ruskin who completely just forget until the last moment.
This is our Super Bowl. Right now is our Super Bowl, man. You come in there, you know, the girls are very, very educated. We make sure that we educate our staff to know what they're saying, because we do not sell something that we do not know about. If we don't trust it, we don't sell it.
So, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff here. You mentioned lingerie. There's what else? Supplements? Is that the way we're
going to handle this? Is supplements?
Male enhancement pills. Yeah, right. So, you know, we sell quite a bit of those. We don't sell ones that don't work.
That's probably a bad sales strategy, I think.
I'm the guinea pig, so I have to try it. If it don't work, I don't sell it.
So you've tested these products
100%. Okay, right. Twice.
Okay.
Whoa.
All right. Twice. There you go.
Okay.
So clearly it worked the first time, or there wouldn't be a second test, right?
You know, sometimes you gotta try it. You gotta try it the first time and double check it.
Okay.
Make sure it works.
What's the most common question you get, like, this time of year? I mean, like, as we say on the show, we're just big dumb animals.
That's right.
Guy walks in, he's like, I don't know what to do.
Come in here, let the girls pick it out for you.
That's always a solid game plan.
Solid thing is, another thing is, we're located next to bars/liquor stores.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell guys, like, hey, take her next door, get her a margarita, come over here, don't even bring up the shop, and then bring her in, and then she comes in there, lets her pick out what she wants, and bada boom bada bing, you have a great night.
Seems like a solid first date strategy to me.
It really is. Why not? Hey,
these are my kind of women. First day, come on. Now.
Three margaritas later, okay, here we go.
All right, are we allowed to discuss this device that is here? What is
Hang
that?
Hang on, let me get the paper.
Because you have it out for a reason, I would imagine.
I do. Okay. So what this is called is the Revive Sync. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so what this design is, a woman wears it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And she downloads the app,
mm-hmm.
and then if she's kind enough, she can send you the link to it, and you can be in Miami, and you can control this thing.
Control this device
from your phone.
What the hell is going on?
Hey, you asked me.
Hey, no. I mean, we have entered a whole new world.
We have crossed the Rubicon now, my friend. We have. Yeah. So, okay. There you go.
A headset.
Oh, well, so, yeah, it's made to be discreet. It's rechargeable.
Oh, Jesus.
Waterproof.
No. Thing's alive.
It is alive. Yeah, I'm controlling it from my phone.
I don't know where this thing's been.
No, it's clean. You know, I promise you, it's clean. It's clean.
Yeah. It looks kind of like a a Fitbit kind of thing.
It does. Touch it. Is it vibrating?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
So it's rechargeable, and you can control it from anywhere with the app, if she lets you have access to the app.
She sends you the link to it.
That thing's one of our number one sellers.
We sell, you know, we sell a lot of these to military families.
It's got an outboard motor on it.
Yeah.
Look at this thing. Pause. Yeah, we get going here. Like I said, 100% waterproof, so... You know, me and my wife are blessed to have a hot tub. Like I said, she loves it in a hot tub and a bottle of wine. Leave me alone.
Guys.
Okay. I'm just saying. Yeah. That.
We're fixing a lot of marriages here today on Rescue.
That's what we do.
That's what we're doing.
You know what's more fun is my wife likes going to concerts.
Mm-hmm. No.
I really could care less. I'm just there. I get beer.
Yeah.
You know what?
This is a very Christian Gray kind of situation.
It's always kind of fun to hit that button and get that jolt.
You remember that episode? That episode of Cheers when they put the shock collar on Cliff?
This is nothing like that.
This is much more personal.
Why did you have to bring the image of Cliff Clavin into this whole situation?
Because I remember the guy at the end of the bar going, "Dance, mailman." And he had the little remote. I mean, you can control it from your phone. It's the same thing.
It is the same thing.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Great device. The technology on the adult novelties now is wild. You'd be shocked on what the new stuff is. You'd be like, wow, did not know that.
No, I'm sitting here going, wow, I did not know that. Yeah. That would have been helpful 2 years ago. Thank you.
That's a good one
there. Thank you very much.
Well, me and my wife have a store. You know, we run it together. You know, she's the queen bee.
It says no headache on it.
BS.
Whoa, okay, I didn't see that.
So I'm guessing I should not take any of these pills
because I don't want you looking longingly at me.
let me tell you this, you know, I'm honest. I take things, that's why I said BS. You know, you gotta drink your water with it,
right? Yeah,
but once you take one of those, I can guarantee you are a soldier for the weekend.
Soldier for the weekend.
You are a Marine ready to stab something.
There you go. Jason from Cupid's with us here on Ruskin and Zach.
Are Ronnie and Wallace still here? Because they're probably going to have to do the rest.
No, they're out in the car listening and they're in tears.
Now, you've got something to give away.
Yes, we brought in a $50 gift card. However you guys want to give it away, it's up to you.
Okay. Well, let's do it now.
How about this?
I went back in there.
Okay. So what are we going to do? Like a first three to call? Or how about the best pickup line?
Well, I don't know if we want to put our listeners in charge of content after this segment, Jason. I really don't.
I can assure you we do not want to do that.
Okay, call in. What do you want to do, like the second caller or something?
Yeah, if anybody talks dirty to me, I'm hanging up on him.
866-285-4005.
$50
gift card to Cupid's.
He's not hanging up.
Yeah, I actually pay somebody to do that right now.
That's a great point. All right. So,
oh my God!
Again, we just blew up the phones. Yeah, but people don't want to talk about this stuff. It's so taboo. Yet we talk about it and say, "Hey, we got a gift card, and here you go." So,
Here's where I look at it. None of us would be here without it.
Very true. That's another great observation.
Well, congratulations to Michael in Fayetteville. He's
Michael
caller number two.
Won it. All right,
hey, way to go, Michael. Good job, buddy.
Have fun this weekend.
He sounds like he's ready to have. He sounds like he's ready to party.
Good. Okay. So again, Cupid's with locations across the state. Also in Bentonville on what do they call that? Rainbow Curve.
Rainbow Curve. Next to Guess Who.
Okay.
And then we have our second location in Taneytown next to Jose.
Right. 412. Right. Yes. So they have two locations in Northwest Arkansas where you can stock up for the Valentine's Day weekend.
And if you really want to know other things we sell, shopcupids.com.
Okay.
Get in there.
That's right.
That'll open up the book for you.
Okay. Shopcupids.com.
Jason, yes. You expecting a big weekend?
I'm expecting a big weekend.
I mean, personally. Not professionally. Personally.
No, honestly, I got to work too much.
You sure?
I mean, it's open to close every day this week.
Is this like your Black Friday thing?
This is my Super Bowl.
Yeah.
This is my Super Bowl.
Is it better that it's on a weekend as opposed to like a Tuesday night Valentine's Day? Or doesn't matter?
This will be our first time to know, okay. But I got a good feeling it's going to work out.
Yeah,
that could be that thing you took, the good feeling.
I got a feeling.
All right. Jason, thank you for coming by. Appreciate it.
Guys. Thanks for having just, me in the
hopefully
studio.
We still have jobs. Yeah. In five minutes, we'll find out.
Talk to the GM on the way out, see if we're still employed.
Yeah.
That'd be helpful.
I'm going to get my car and leave.
Thanks. Appreciate your help.
Jason from Cupid's, located in Bentonville and in Taney Town and all over the state. ShopCupids.com. All right.
Ruskin and Zach.